Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive.
It's D-Mac with Nate Jackson. The week is over. Congratulations. I'm looking at Nikki Jabala's Twitter. And Von Miller got a Lamborghini Aventador. A Lamborghini Aventador SVJ for turning 30. Nikki writes, I got a Starbucks gift card.
That's worth something, though.
Lamborghini Aventador. How much does this car run in terms of cost? What are we talking about?
You know, 200 grand, maybe. But when you have...
Dang.
It's all relative to the money that he's earned.
It's all relative, yep.
And every penny of it.
Good for him.
Yeah. It's not a really practical car.
No.
I don't know where you're going to drive the Lamborghini Aventador.
Have you ever heard of it?
Never. No.
A Lambo, though.
I'm not a big car guy.
What are you driving these days?
Same car I bought when I made the practice squad.
What's that?
It's a 2003 Denali.
Is it seriously just the same car?
Same exact
Literally
car.
Literally the same
Literally.
Car. Yeah. Works fine.
Still going, man. It's still going. I bought that thing first week I made the practice squad. It brand new, drove it off the lot. It was a bold move. Every day I got into that thing, I'm like...
How much was the car?
50 grand.
50 grand?
Oh, yeah. Over
and
that.
You're on practice squad.
$43.50 a week at the time. And zero job stability.
So why did you buy a $50,000 car?
Keeping up with the Joneses, man. But I also wanted to reward myself because I had been working up until that point for a long time to achieve the goal of making an NFL roster. And when I finally did, I hadn't made any money up until that point playing football. I got a $5,000 signing bonus when I first signed.
Okay.
And then minicamp training camp money, which is...
What is that?
$400 a week, $1,000 a week, depending on training camp.
Small.
Yeah.
Relatively.
Yes. So when I finally made the roster and I was $43.50 a week, yes. So I went to the GMC
dealer.
You
bought a $50,000 car.
I did. And you know what the funny thing is?
What if you got cut the next week?
Exactly. Well, every morning when I jumped in that car, I'm like, I better have a good day. But the funny thing is,
that's awesome.
That same week, I come back in and Rod Smith, who was really good with money and wanted to mentor the young guys, he said, we're having a money meeting today after practice. Mm-hmm. I had already bought my new car. Mm-hmm. And we go in there, the rookies, and he's like, you guys... If you go in there and buy a $50,000 car, it's not just your signature, it's this. And he reaches out and pulls out $50,000 cash out of a bag and drops it on the table. Boom. A little too late for that lesson, but...
What were you thinking?
I was like, good point, Rod. I wish I would have come to you before that. No, I love that car, dude, and I'm still driving it, so...
It's worked out.
It has. It has.
Oh, my God. What had you... I mean, you just turn the car back in or sell it or back or I don't know.
Yeah. I always wanted that car and then I got it. Then I got it. I still got it.
That's a good story. It's a little reminder of why I got to, you know, what I got to do today.
Right.
But on the surface, it was an insanely stupid thing to do. Because you didn't really need it.
I needed a car.
You got a lot of other options besides a $50,000 Denali.
I wanted an SUV, man. I like that grill.
So you must have felt like just one of the fellas when you pulled into that Broncos parking lot, you know, with all those other fancy cars.
Yeah.
Who drove the worst car while you were there?
Quentin Griffin.
What was he driving? Like something small, I bet.
Yeah, just something like whatever he was driving in college.
Yeah, he seems to me like a Volkswagen Bug sort of guy.
No, it was just like a Toyota Avalon or something like that. He's a real soft-spoken, humble guy. He just didn't really care.
He's making some short jokes there.
He was short.
Short.
Right. Super great guy.
Who drove the dumbest car?
Dumbest car? I don't know.
Who's driving the Suburban assault vehicle? You know, like the, you know, the...
Nobody really did that.
The Hummer H3 or something.
There was a guy... A teammate of mine who I was sitting next to him in the player lounge one day and he was just on the computer and he's messing around and he's just like click. He's like, yeah, I just bought a Hummer. He just bought it online, man. He's just bored between practices and just wanted to you know, get some action. So he bought a car.
Okay.
Yeah.
How'd that work out for him?
I think fine. He played, I don't know how many years, 6 years. He got a couple big deals. And
So it worked out all right.
Yeah, he's all right. He's a nice guy.
Orlando talks about he would have treat yourself Tuesdays. So he would say on Tuesdays he would just go to the mall.
Go buy stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Walk around and just buy stuff.
I want that. Yeah. I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. Then he goes, yeah, that's why I have my Bentley.
See, yeah.
I'm like, what? He goes, yeah. I go, wait a second. He goes, yeah. It's a $250,000 car.
Yeah, see, my treat yourself Tuesdays were a bit different. That's why I have that pair of jeans.
What are you treating yourself to?
Well, for me, it was weird because you come to the city and you're alone when you come, and all of a sudden you make the team and you got new money, but you don't really understand how to express that success. And the only way to do it is to buy stuff. And so you go to the mall and you realize I can buy whatever I want. Plus, I got a new place. I got to furnish it.
Yeah.
So you go start stockpiling stuff.
Yeah, you like have a $50,000 car in like cardboard boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, no shop. Did you go food shopping?
Yeah, I went food shopping. King okay. Supers, man.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Matt. Hey, Matt, you're on the fan. What's up, Matt?
Yo, what's up, D-Mac?
Hey.
Hey, I just want to, I got a couple of points here. First one, I just want to call out John. He sounds like he's trying to reject a silver medal at the Olympics when he can't even concentrate on a multi-ball on a pinball machine.
Yeah, John was having some issues there, but he did proudly say he's been drinking since 12:30 today, so he established that
fact.
Yeah,
he went to work. So did 90% of Denver. Congratulations, buddy.
All right, anything else matters, that it?
Yeah, the other point I want to make is on the DK Metcalf situation is, with him not supporting his teammates like that, that's a guy you can't draft. Because when you think about it, the wide receiver is going to be a big leader on the offense. And if he's already not supporting his college teammates, you can't get a guy like that. I don't care how skilled he is. Dez Bryant had personality issues, but he was still a leader in that clubhouse down in Dallas.
Yep.
You can't have a guy like that. That's too toxic for an offense.
It's a red flag for sure. I agree with you, Matt. Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. I mean, I kind of already moved on to N'Keal Harry anyways, but...
But we also don't know why he wasn't in there. He might have had a receiver coach be like, you guys shouldn't go in there because then they're going to ask you to lift. And if they didn't want to do the bench or whatever, there could have been someone else steering them away from that room.
You are Captain Positive.
I'm just saying.
Sure. I understand.
Do your homework and talk to these guys. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. Roger, you're on the fan. Hi, Roger.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure.
Lately, you've been talking about the wide receivers, DK, and then N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
But there's a guy that, just because I don't think the Broncos should draft one that high where those guys would go, I think there's another kid they should try to check out. His name is Ashton Doolin. He's from a small college, Monroe College.
Okay.
And he's touted as the next small college superstar.
Who are they comparing him to?
Well, not necessarily the size, but the skills of Randy Moss.
Oh, well, those are good skills.
It's not bad.
If you look
what do you
at
mean
his
not
numbers,
the size, though? I mean, the size was a big part of Randy Moss's skills.
Well, he's six. This kid is 6'2".
Yeah, that's not Randy Moss, my man. He's Randy's right. Randy's a tall dude.
Yeah, but the kid has the numbers. He's been rising on people's draft boards, even though some people don't think he will actually get drafted because he's from a small school, but I think he would be worth a shot if the Broncos took him in the sixth or seventh round. He could be the steal of the draft.
All right, Roger, appreciate it. Thanks.
Or maybe they can get him in as a free agent. As long as he gets in a camp, that's really all you want, especially when you're one of those just bubble guys. You just want to get into camp and be able to prove yourself on the field.
Yeah, I'm not interested in bubble guys. Sure, there's a lot of bubble guys. Most players are bubble guys.
You'll be interested in them when camp comes around.
I'm interested in three starters from this draft. So if you don't project to be one of the three starters out of this draft, starters, right away, day one, then I'm all for building depth and the whole thing. But if we have this win now mentality, which I think the Broncos do, who are three starters? So if you don't project as a starter, I'm fine. I love all the stories. We need special teams.
Well,
it's
not only that,
good.
But you need receivers. You need depth at receivers, and you need camp bodies.
We kind of got that already. We got Tim Patrick. You got Brendan Langley. We've got guys. We got Craycraft, who's around. I mean, we do have some depth there.
You will need to sign guys to be in camp, and those guys are going to be hungry, and they can supplant active guys that are on the roster.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear the Lion King music roar, and the Disney story comes to fruition.
Whatever, man.
From Monroe College.
Yeah, well, hey, I never heard of him.
He got a $2,300 signing bonus and is living in a van down by the river.
$5,000 until he makes the practice squad. Then he's going to get a Denali, and in 10 years he's going to be in here talking to you, D-Mac.
I tell you what, I can't wait to see him. I love Disney stories. But I like a football team. That's a first-round guy. That's a first-round. There's a second-round guy. That's a first-round. Oh, there's another second-round guy. Oh, that's the highest free agent ever at that particular position at right tackle. He's working out well. That's
do you know how much that matters once you get into camp?
I like the Avengers.
Yeah,
like exactly. You know, we're going to make $1 billion on this movie.
Exactly. But when you get into camp, you don't have it doesn't say first round draft pick on your helmet, so people take it easy on you. You're going to have to go earn your stripes, D-Mac.
I got it, but I like my first round guys who just get out there and ball out of control and prove what's what.
Yeah.
My team looks terrible right now.
No, it's not.
And if you've got the Jarvis Mosses of the world, that's a problem. And reason why it's the biggest problem, Nate, at the end of the day, when you build a team, there's a structure of finances you have to keep in mind. You have to keep in mind.
Of course.
And we, in America, thank God for America, love America, America. Not everybody who works together makes the exact same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always kind of laughed about the whole, you know, next man up. Hey, you're a star player who makes $16 million a year, just got hurt. Well, you know, next man up. Yeah, that's Tony. He makes like $1 million a year. So he makes 16 times less than the other guy. But we're expecting Tony to be just as good as the guy that we're paying $16 million to.
100%. T-Mac.
I mean, it'd be awesome. Don't get me wrong. It's just unrealistic.
Not really, man. I've seen it happen. You've probably seen it happen if you actually paid attention to that stuff. When guys go down, guys step in, and you don't miss a beat, but you don't pay attention to it, so you don't notice it. You notice the stuff that's glaring or the stuff that happens that's wrong, but when they don't miss a beat, you don't notice.
It's awesome. I'm just telling you, that's luck. That's hope. That's using hope as a strategy.
The difference between the quote-unquote worst player on your team and the quote-unquote best player on your team is a millimeter. These guys are all on par with each other. You go and watch these practices.
Then why are we paying one guy all this money and the other guy not as much?
Because he's proven,
not even close.
He's proven it over time. So if you go out and watch practice, you're going to see practice squad guys torching Pro Bowl guys on the regular. It happens on every team every day. That's real, and that's why you have confidence across the board with teammates in each other. That if someone gets hurt, this practice squad guy is going to get brought up. Certainly, he's not going to have the exact same role as a superstar, but he is going to step into that role, and his teammates will have confidence in him.
So why pay anybody big money?
Because there's big money to pay.
But well, hold on. Why don't we just even things out?
Well,
why would we ever pay Emmanuel Sanders this year $10.25 million? And Tim Patrick, $700,000.
Just like you said.
Why would we do that?
Just like you said, we live in America. That's the model.
Well, hold on. Shouldn't our expectations of Emmanuel Sanders be a little bit higher than Tim Patrick?
He's caught a lot more balls, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, then, yes. There you go.
Okay. All right. So we're ultimately in agreement.
Yep.
Next man up can only go so far. You got to do what you got to do.
I'll give you an example. Sometimes a running back who carries a big load for a team gets hurt.
Yeah.
The guy comes off the bench.
Yeah.
And like James Conner did.
Yep. Keep going. Great example.
Balling out and getting the same kind of numbers.
Exactly. So
the system is set up to make that guy successful.
So guess what you should never do then?
What?
Pay one of those running backs a lot of money.
Well, that's a whole other philosophy you can talk about.
And now they're not with Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. James Conner was just as productive as Le'Veon Bell, statistically.
And before you knew James Conner had skills, what would you have said if they said James Conner's on deck?
I say we're in trouble.
Right.
We got Le'Veon Bell. He's arguably the best running back. He can do everything.
Right.
Looks like we're in trouble.
That is the definition of next man up.
Fine. Just, you're making a great point, especially because I'm totally against paying running backs a lot of money. I think paying running backs a lot of money is ridiculous. I think drafting running backs high is silly.
Hmm.
And as great as Saquon Barkley is, and he is great, Alvin Kamara was like drafted in the third round. And so they say, well, what about the quarterback situation? And you can just look at success over time. The higher you get drafted as a quarterback, the more likelihood. It doesn't mean nobody can be successful if they're not drafted high, but the more likelihood that you will succeed is there. And some people, like, the definition of success is interesting. Like, what is success as a quarterback? To me, success as a quarterback is getting your team to the playoffs with a chance to compete at the highest level. The end. Anything can happen once you get to the playoffs. You don't have to win a Super Bowl to be a successful quarterback. But if you get your team to a Super Bowl, well, that's pretty good. If you win a Super Bowl, that's even better.
And if you're a Super Bowl MVP,
that's the way to go.
Then you're Joe Flacco.
Yeah, so Joe Flacco checks a lot more boxes than Case Keenum.
Yeah.
A lot more. But I also very much believe to live in the now, not the past. So, you know, there's, like, when you said a couple times here, John Elway, well, you know, won Super Bowls. Okay. And I hear you. I'm listening.
Yeah.
But again, I go to the, are we giving out Lifetime Achievement Awards, or are we talking about this year? Because you just cannot live on, how long can you live off the past? Now, if you tell me, I don't know what the answer is to that. To me, it's the recent history is a team that's gone 11-21 with double-digit losing seasons back-to-back for the first time since the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Rough patch, no doubt.
Historic for this team.
And so shocking because it is so rare. And so we've been spoiled here by success for so many years.
All right, so if you're saying, listen, you've been the exception, not the norm, chill out. Because most teams actually do go through this. It's just we've been spoiled.
100%.
Okay. And that's where I take deep breaths. And like I've said, I'm encouraged. I couldn't stand Vance Joseph as a coach. I'm glad he's gone. I couldn't stand Joe Woods as a defensive coordinator. I wasn't all that impressed with Bill Musgrave as an offensive coordinator. They kept Tom McMahon, the special teams coach. I guess he was the only coach that did any good last year. Special teams, by the way. And I like Vic Fangio on the surface. He's never been a head coach before. He's never even called. 19 years he's been calling defenses, Nate. Only one of those 19 years did he ever do it from the sideline. He's basically been in a booth for the vast majority of the past 20 years.
That's something.
You don't think that's going to be a little bit of an adjustment?
That will. Maybe he'll be the head coach up in the booth.
We've talked about that. We've literally said, well, what would the worst part of that actually be?
Well,
like it would look weird, but I mean, I don't know.
Well, your head coach has got to be the guy who decides all the things, when to punt, when to throw the flag, when to go for two, that kind of stuff. And that might be a little trickier up in the booth.
Well, Ed Donatell's technically the defensive coordinator, which is like, you know, Gary Kubiak was here, but Rick Dennison was the offense coordinator.
Yeah.
Even though Rick, you know, Gary was calling like every single play.
Well, Kub was doing the passes and Rico was doing the runs.
Okay.
That's how they kind of broke up those duties. At least when I was there.
Yeah, I don't know.
They kind of had a dual offensive coordinator ship.
Yeah, I don't know if that was happening in the latest incarnation, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
So Kube would say run play here, and Dennison would call
play? No, I'm saying more kind of the conceptualizing the game plan.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. And then Kube would just call it.
Yeah, or it would go through Kube, and Kube would approve it or not. Actually, Kube would call it, and it would go through Shanahan, and he would approve it or not.
Yeah. It's great having Peyton Manning here.
Yeah.
He would just, you know.
He was doing himself.
Just take care of it.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
It was a good advantage. And then to a certain degree, it's interesting having Tebow here because, like a robot, he would never check out of anything.
He'd be like Ron Burgundy. He would just read whatever's on the screen.
That's right.
Stay classy, San Diego.
That's right. That's right.
Who put a question
mark? Dang it! He reads everything you put there.
We'll see what happens. It's fun to talk about and speculate about. So you're keeping me positive. I love it.
That's good.
At the end of the day, you're very positive. And I'm more positive about things. I think I have been. If they draft, like, we're seeing Schrager's mock draft today from NFL Network and him speculating about Dwayne Haskins being here. First of all, the tattoo on Orlando is going to look hysterical, so that'll be cool.
DH? And,
yeah, I guess so, right?
DH in red?
Red Buckeye color.
I mean, he could call himself the designated hitter.
Yeah.
There's ways you can spin that. No big deal.
Oh, my God. If the Broncos actually draft a quarterback this year, I mean, there's going to be plenty to choose from at 10.
Yeah.
Plenty to choose from. The guys who are going to go off the board this year are the edge rushers, linebackers. I mean, it's like Devin White. I don't think he's going to be there.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Let's go to my man Phoenix. Phoenix, you're on the Fan. What's up, Phoenix?
What's up, man?
Hey.
What's up, dude?
I'm just I just called because I was hearing you guys talk about wide receivers. The reason why I don't think the Broncos are going to pick a wide receiver, because like you guys said, there's young talent. We have all these young guys, and we have them for a while. And if not, we can always go second round with N'Keal Harry or something like that. I honestly think the Broncos need to go with Devin White. They can't. They not a choice. They're like, oh, we could just pick him. We need to go with Devin White.
Yeah, but I mean, what if he's not there? What if he's? I mean, they're not going to move up.
Who's gonna pick him up?
Oh my gosh, I've seen him mocked to many different teams. Tampa Bay.
You hear all about these quarterbacks that are going to be traded up. Like Chad Ruder today said the Raiders are going to trade up, which I think is ridiculous for Drew Lock. But you know, I think honestly, with the amount of talent the defensive tackles and the edge players have, no way we're going to pick up like Nick Bosa or anything. But I think Devin White or even Devin Bush, one of those guys.
But let me ask you this, Phoenix. Like, what's the difference? Okay with Devin White, all right? I'm not even going to argue there. But what's the difference between Devin Bush and Mack Wilson?
The first, just first-round talent ability.
Really? No, specifically, what's the difference between Bush and Wilson?
You know, I've just been hearing Wilson as just a third round talent. He's not really, he's not like a Quinn.
See, just say, I don't know. Just say, I don't know.
I don't really know.
Right, of course.
I'm young. I'm dumb.
No. That's not what I was trying to say.
I don't know either, man.
Thank you, Phoenix. Right. Like, before you get so set on, like, what are the differences? And that's the Broncos' job. What I'm saying is, if there's not that big of a difference between Devin Bush and Mack Wilson, then what about being a little bit more patient and taking that guy in the second round? What are the differences between this guy and that guy? You know, what does the draft look like at certain positions next year? So maybe if you're building a team, you can sort of say, well, like tight end, for example, with Jake Butt hopefully coming back and Troy Fumagalli coming off injury, and you already signed Heuerman. I mean, really, what are the tight ends like next year? Like, could that be the year? What is free agency like next year in that position?
Right.
And that is ultimately the biggest issue I had with just drafting Bradley Chubb kind of out of nowhere, because it just didn't seem like it fit into any plan based on the avail. Look at the pass rushers this year. And if you want to say, he's better than all of them. Like, he's better than every single pass rusher this year. I would simply ask, well, by what degree? How much? Because you already drafted a first-round guy in Shane Ray that you gave up on.
Sometimes you got to cut and run.
Sometimes. But when you do cut and run and you end up chasing, Nate, it's you get yourself in trouble because you lack depth. You just admit mistakes. And by the way, they may have made that mistake with Garrett Bowles. That's what's terrifying, because he's a first-round guy. He's a left tackle. And do we need to be looking at that all over again? But that's chasing. So I would say, as much as it sucks, you got to give Garrett Bowles, I mean, at least one more year, a third year with Mike Munchak, and you got to see what you got. If not, what are you doing? You're chasing a left tackle, so now we're giving up on a linebacker, or we're giving up on a receiver or a tight end or whatever because we couldn't figure this out? The Nuggets lost by a lot last night, and it's not a big deal. Details why next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's DMAC with Nate Jackson on what has turned out to be kind of a rainy afternoon. Snow is actually in the forecast overnight, so...
I like these big windows, though. You can really see the water.
Yeah, it's awesome. We look right out at I-25 in Orchard, and we've had some amazing weather to look at over the years, no doubt about it. I mean, nothing's more scenic than, you know, the tech center. who would want to look out on the mountains? I mean, boring. The Nuggets got spanked last night. And, I heard some people kind of freaking out about it. It's all right. The NBA is kind of weird sometimes. Like, sometimes when you're just not going to win, like when it's not your night, Nate, in the NBA, doesn't matter. You lose by... Sometimes when it's really not your night and you're going to lose by 10 or 12 points, you may lose by 30. It's just not that big of a deal. Just write it off. It's one of those games. And you're going to have a handful of those games every year. The key is, can you avoid them and not have them night after night after night? Does it happen just every now and then? Or is it, you know, are you just terrible? And so I'm not freaking out about that whatsoever. I'm not intimidated for the Nuggets, for the Rockets, or frankly any team this year. I think they can, they're not infallible. They could be beaten by anybody too, but I'm not that worried about it. It's just the nature of sports where you play a lot of games. Big difference from the NFL.
Yeah, and they're a good team. And sometimes going into the playoffs, it's good to get beat right before the playoffs when you're a good team. Because it reminds you, wait a second, we don't have this locked up.
Yeah.
We got to tighten up.
It could be a good loss. People hate hearing that.
Good loss.
But
well, Jim from earlier would hate hearing that.
He would hate hearing that.
There's no such thing as a good loss.
No. The question is, what can you do with it? Can you take something positive from it, or do you let it eat you up? Now, I'll give you this. How many times when you were playing for the Broncos were you guys in the playoffs?
Three.
Okay. How were you playing going into the playoffs?
Usually pretty well.
So at what point do you think you need to be playing well going into the playoffs? The final week, final 2 weeks? 3 weeks? I mean, what do you think matters?
Well, it depends on if you're kind of have it locked up or... Well, football's a little different because you get a bye and, you know, you're away or you're at home. And in basketball, it's a series, so it's not as important as to who is home and who's away. But we had a bye on the year we went to the AFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. But a couple other... The years prior to that, we had to go into Indianapolis back-to-back years, and we lost both times, that
right.
First wild card game.
Right, I remember those games. Frustrating.
Peyton actually torched us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we had played really well the previous week. In mm-hmm. fact, one of the years we had gone into Indianapolis in the last game of the season and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And then said, well, okay, we'll be back next week. And we came back next week and got smoked.
Yeah, so
there's really no rhyme or reason to it. There's nothing.
Yeah, maybe it's not a big deal whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal for the Nuggets.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Now, to get to the playoffs, that's another deal. And there's a huge game down at Pepsi Center tonight with the Avalanche taking on the Coyotes. Because there's five games to go. The Avs have a 2-point lead over the Coyotes for what would be the final playoff spot. This is a big game tonight. You win this, you got a 4-point lead over the Coyotes. With four games to go. And in hockey, that is tough to overcome. Not impossible. There's eight total points out there. I mean, one team can go 0-4, one team can go 4-0. I mean, it can happen. But a 4-point lead with four games to go, man. And the Avs are 5-0-1 in their last six games. So they're like putting it together.
What about the Coyotes?
Coyotes have been hanging in there.
Should be a good game.
It should be a great game. Awesome game tonight down at a virtual, you know, should feel like a playoff game down at Pepsi Center tonight. It's the importance of it is through the roof. So we'll see what happens. Sometimes I do wonder with teams that just are just killing themselves. I go back and forth. I'm not sure. Teams that kill themselves just to get to the playoffs, where their mental frame of mind is once they get to the playoffs compared to teams that, like the Nuggets, made the playoffs actually relatively quite a long time ago.
Right. Well, in the NFL, it's for the last, I don't know how many seasons, but it's been the one seed and the one seed that end up advancing. Because those teams that are killing themselves to get in and they have to go on the road and they just get emotionally drained.
Yeah.
That first wild card weekend is sometimes so intense that
right.
whoever wins that game goes into the number one seed's backyard and right. just gets smoked. That's what happened this year.
But then you say, well, you want to play well. That's why I can't buy preseason, Nate, to be quite honest with you. It just doesn't matter until you're playing a game that matters. And you really don't need preseason. Not, I mean, you need like...
2 games?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Because I'll give you the, okay, we got to figure out the, you know, guy 52, guy 53 practice squad guys. I'll give you that. And it's so different now because, you know, the Broncos, how about this, everybody? The Broncos are going to start their offseason program next Tuesday. Dude.
Nice.
Doesn't that sound insane?
That's what it was like for us. Beginning of April, late March, came in.
It's crazy, but...
But it is. It's so early. You don't really realize it. I mean, it's
oh my
April,
gosh.
May, June, July, August, 5 months of training before the season ever starts. So when a guy gets hurt in September, October, or November, you think, man, this guy can't stay healthy. He's injury prone. He's already been at it for 6 months. So it's not like he just can't stay healthy. Well, he's beat down already.
Yeah.
So the best coaches kind of know how to pace their players
right.
through all that offseason.
So by the time you get to the preseason games, in all honesty, you're already in probably great shape.
Oh, yeah.
And you've had the playbook since, well, if you're in the same system, you just had the same relative same plays.
Since.
But you've had it since...
OTAs.
Yeah, I mean, nothing stops them from sending out the playbook now. I mean, you know...
Well, not yet. They'll wait till they get to the facility. I mean,
you sure?
Maybe Joe Flacco's probably got the playbook.
I would guess.
Yeah, but the rest of the guys will get their book when they get there. They do it on iPads now.
They do it on iPads.
So maybe they could probably email it to them.
Right.
But you don't want those emails getting out.
We went through the company that does it. It's encrypted so it can be automatically like erased and it can't be... It's really interesting how they do it.
That's cool.
There's one company that's based here in Denver. Shoot, I'm forgetting their name off the top of my head. But they have figured out how to do the technology that isolates it basically to that iPad where you can't share it. And if you get cut, it's just like, you know...
Self-destruct mode enter, in
yeah,
5 seconds.
Yeah.
5, 4...
Yeah. 3, 2... Delete.
Yeah, it used to be the old days with those big old playbooks we had to carry around. If you lose that thing...
Can you imagine?
You would get fined like something like $5,000 if you lose the playbook.
When we come back, a tribute to Manu Ginobili, some fun things said there, and a great night for the Avalanche. The Broncos get going here just in a couple days, and NCAA basketball all here on The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Saying sun is way too dry. The clouds up in the city, the weatherman complains. But where I come from, rain is a good thing.
Well, we got plenty of rain.
Yeah.
And
it's looking like snow now.
Yeah, look at that, huh? Whiskey. How's this week been for you, Nate? Being back here in Steamac with Nate Jackson. And I just want to say thank you for being here. It's awesome to reconnect on our friendship, first of all, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
So, how this week for you has been what?
It's been really great. It's been challenging at first, but it was exciting. Like I don't get to have like a game moment anymore, and you get to feel that a little bit.
Yeah.
You come on the air, and it's exciting to collaborate on these ideas and tell these old stories and reconnect with a really beautiful time in my life. And with people who are really happy, man. It's a cool place to be. And L.A. is a different place.
Yeah.
And
because it isn't just doing this. You've connected with a lot of people back here this week, right?
Yeah. Some old friends, some old teammates, Just the area, just driving around. I had a house around here that I sold a couple of years ago, but going to old restaurants and the old just little stomping grounds, man. So I want to thank you for having me on, dude.
Well, I appreciate that. So I'm going to guess this has been a interesting, because you could go back to a place, I suppose, and it's like, wow, this is not how I remembered it. We took our teenage kids back to Buffalo, where my wife and I, you know, were engaged and where we got married. And we had so many great memories with friends because we were all in our young 20s and we hung out together. And so our memories of that area of Buffalo are actually really, really great. And we both went to Syracuse University, me and my wife. So we took the teenagers back. Oh, wait till you see this and wait till you see that. And we got back there and it sucked. I mean, it was like, it's like even me objectively, like driving around Syracuse.
Like, yeah, that place used to be cool.
Yeah. Not. And I'm looking at it like, yeah, not so much. And then we went to Buffalo, and it was kind of the same thing. And my kids were just like, well, what was cool about this place? And I was like, yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Well, it was that time in your life, man.
Yeah, that's right. But it's like when you go, sometimes if you go back and look at something again, you realize, whoa, I mean, maybe that time just needs to live by itself.
Yeah.
The question for you, I suppose, when you come back and visit here, is this a time that you say, maybe that was something I should get back to?
Definitely, it makes me think that, because look, the sports conversation never ends,
right?
And there's a lot of people talking, and there's a lot of people swirling around a very small number of athletes who've dedicated their lives to playing these sports.
What's it like in LA?
Well, it's, I don't know. They don't care about sports. No one cares about sports, man. They don't care. They don't care about the Rams. They don't care about the Chargers. The Chargers play in LA. They play in a 30,000 seat soccer stadium, and they can't fill that. So the interest isn't there, and then the passion is not there. And even the people who, you know, are mad when the Broncos lose, it's because they care, and they care about the players ultimately. I mean, and so when I come and talk about this stuff, I see it as an opportunity to add my perspective to it, help out the guys a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, just throw my two cents out there, and it's been fun. Like I was saying a couple days ago, I don't get to talk about this stuff anymore, and it's fun, dude. It's fun, and then I remember these old things that I had forgotten, and you make it easy.
I've been impressed how positive you've been top to bottom, and I think that's pretty cool because there's a lot of ex-players that nobody ever really, not very many players get to go out. I saw a special on ESPN today. It was funny. It was players that have their last game was winning a Super Bowl. And it was like Jerome Bettis and Michael Strahan and John Elway and Ray Lewis and I guess Rob Gronkowski now.
Right.
And I'm like, well, Peyton Manning. That is pretty awesome, right? It's not for most folks.
No. Nah. My last game was week 11 against the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta.
Mm.
I caught three passes for 33 yards.
Good day.
Good day.
Yeah.
Felt good. And then that next week during practice, my hamstring popped and my season was over. And then our coach got fired, and so did I. And that was how it ended. And then I, you know, we did.
Do you think if Mike Shanahan remained the coach that you'd be back the next year?
I think so, yeah. Because he was a very loyal coach. If you did all he asked you to do.
Have you talked to Mike since you've been back here?
No, I haven't.
Tempted?
You know, I mean, I think about it sometimes, and he's in my book a lot. You know, he was a very instrumental figure in my life, and he gave me an opportunity and gave me a career, man. My career was done. I wouldn't be here without him. So
right.
I love the man, and if I run into him, I'll be happy to see him.
Okay. Well, thank you, my man.
I hope to see you soon.
And thanks for listening, Kyle Berry, Star Rare Man. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kyle.
In terms of what's next, NCAA basketball, the Sweet 16, rolls on next right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.